Hold on, let's see what we got. I don't see Deshaun yet. We'll give Deshaun about another minute. Deshaun, you're here, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. All right. So, according to, well, we have about a minute. I think the recording has started, which is good. You see the little dot swirling up there. So, okay, we'll go ahead and get started. This is the Monday, April 12th. City of Tukwila Transportation Infrastructure Services Committee meeting. And we will get started right away. And the first item on our agenda is the 53rd Avenue Sidewalk Edition update. So who's going to be leading us through this?
That'll be me tonight.
Great. The floor is yours.
Okay. At issue tonight, we'd like to provide an update on the 53rd Avenue Traffic Revision and Sidewalk Plan. In 2020, the city desired to improve the pedestrian safety along 53rd between 137th and 52nd, with the roadway not being wide enough to accommodate two-way traffic and pedestrians at the same time. With limited funding, our street crew was utilized to install an at-grade walkway with a traffic revision to one-way northbound. At the same time, we also revised 52nd Place to southbound only. While we found the pedestrian safety was greatly improved, the one-way street revision created substantial concerns with some residents. So staff was requested to look at options for improvement and report back to the Transportation Infrastructure Committee with our findings. So staff, along with the consultant from KPG, we've been considering multiple options to improve the current conditions. With the funding restored to the 2021 overlay program, a raised sidewalk along 53rd Avenue and along South 137th is scheduled to be constructed in the summer of 2021. Per the current design, the traffic on 52nd Place would also be returned to one-way northbound operation per the community's request. That's the original configuration for that road. Ultimately, the best solution would be to resume two-way traffic on 53rd Avenue South. KPG is currently working on a low-cost solution for restoring two-way traffic in conjunction with the new sidewalks, which would be widening the roadway to the west. The need to coordinate with Seattle City Light has always been an issue. We'd need to relocate a pole to get it out of the roadway to prevent. relocation would likely prevent the work from being included in this summer due to the coordination with Seattle City Light, and it'd also be dependent upon funding availability. So we've come up with some options for discussion. Option A is to add the sidewalks, keep 53rd Avenue South as one-way northbound, return the operation of 52nd Place to northbound, and construct it in the summer of 2021 with the overlay. The design of 53rd Avenue South widening for two-way traffic and then construct that as soon as funding was secured. Cost estimate is under development. We do have some preliminary numbers, but they're very raw at this point, and our coordination with Seattle City Light has just begun. Option B would be to add the sidewalks per plan, keep 53rd Avenue South as one-way northbound, return operation of 52nd Place to northbound, constructing it all in the summer 21, but we wouldn't pursue the widening. We'd leave it as is with the new sidewalks. Option C is to add the sidewalks, revise 53rd Avenue South as one-way southbound, revert the direction of 52nd Place to to northbound and construct all this work in the summer of 2021. This option will be slightly more than option two due to relocating the current signs and channelization that we've installed at this point. And we do not know what traffic issues that we'd be dealing with. At this point, we kind of know the issues that we've created with the northbound one way, and additional issues may occur with the southbound correction. So we're still working on our cost estimates for the second phase if we were to widen it. At this point, staff was requested to present this item as discussion to update the council about the 53rd sidewalk progress. With the recent and continued comments and being a hot topic for the area residents, we're now recommending pursuing option A, which will provide the best long-term solution for the community. And then the plans are attached for this year's construction, which would provide the sidewalks that begin where the last year's project on 53rd Avenue South led off, and it would add sidewalks along 137th, and then they would tie into new sidewalks on 53rd, which go down the hill and tie into where the dental office development ended. Any questions?
All right, thank you. I'll start with Council Member Quinn.
Just so I'm at understanding, option A, add sidewalks, keep 53rd Avenue South as one-way northbound, return operations on 52nd Place South to the north. And so I'm just having trouble tracking. What would be great is if there was a map so we could fully understand the options that we're considering. And I know we have a map here, but it's hard to delineate. So 137th, it's hard to orient. Sorry.
I understand. I apologize for that. And I get used to reading things in plan view, and it would have been very helpful. So essentially, 52nd Place was one way northbound. It was thought that by making it southbound as we have it right now, it would create a better path for the bicycles. Mostly was kind of our thought was it was very hard for them to transverse 53rd Avenue South, and so that going around 52nd Avenue and taking 52nd would be better for them. As it turned out, we have a kind of an unforeseen blind spot with a hedge, and then a lot of concern with icing travel in the wintertime that was voiced to us from the residents as well.
So you're going to do the opposite now on 52nd?
52nd Place will go back to the way that it originally was. It would be northbound one way going down the hill to 52nd Avenue South.
So you're now removing the second lane, because right now it's one way going south. So you're going to switch it to go one way north.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think I understand now.
Councilmember McLeod.
The city of Tuscola does not have a more confusing triangle in the city than that area. I know a couple of summers ago when I was trying to go out and knock on doors out there, I couldn't find houses that had addresses in that area. So it's really a challenge. What would have been helpful is a map that said, here's where the bus stop is, the park and ride, here's where the park is. And so I totally agree with what Councilmember Quinn was alluding to. I do want to ask, so the city, you know, took a plan, put it kind of in place, and the residents spoke really loud about, like, we like it or we don't like it. It should be this way. So I want to ask, when you suggest option A, is that what the majority of the community was asking for in their upcry or outcry?
The original final outcome of option A is what they want, which is their two-way traffic back.
Okay.
The, you know, leaving things in place, in our judgment right now, we have a known commodity on safety issues and what's been created and how people are adjusting to it, which we do feel that people have adjusted to the conditions that have been in place for a while. We have great concerns reversing that road to be one-way northbound. And that is what some of our more vocal residents would like to see. But there's a secondary option to this, is that by leaving it in place, like I said, it's we know it, the safety issues. We're going to get our sidewalk built, and we'll be moving to the solution. Ultimately, I believe that we all want to see it be two-way traffic again. If for some reason funding fell through, we didn't get support, and we want to, we could certainly just revert the traffic control on that road to be one-way northbound by moving signs and some channelization. It won't be free, but that is, you know, option A.1.
So Scott, allow me to answer Councilman McClure's question. Councilman, let me add a little bit more. This is Harry Punkindi. I walked the site along with Scott and a few other council members that day, talked to the residents. The residents' clear choice is option A with the street two-way traffic. And our current right-of-way width allows us, with a few exceptions and a pole that needs to be relocated. So what we're proposing is in that direction. This is the first step. And once we have conversations with City Light, once we're able to move the pole, we will add the additional pavement to bring the two lanes that are requested by the residents. We couldn't do what they requested in the very first this year, but we definitely think adding the sidewalk would bring safety to the pedestrians, and that's a big step in the right direction. So we wanted to do it in two phases and achieve what the residents want ultimately.
Okay. Thank you, Hari. I yield back.
So I guess a couple things. Number one, this is just an update. And right now, if you're going with option A, that means you're still developing the cost estimates, which will come back to us. I think what would be really helpful, I just popped out onto Google and looked at the map. You know, give us a Google map. You know, make it easy. I was sitting here, I'm just completely confused, and I drive down there all the time. But I guess my concern is, you know, yes, we need to listen to the residents. Yes, they know. But we have to make sure what we're doing is in the overall best for public safety reasons, right? It needs to be safe. And so I guess that's what I'm interested in. And I think I heard you say, you know, this is the best for the long term. And I believe I heard you say that relates to public safety, correct?
That was the reason that the walkway was pursued last year, was to try to prevent the mixing of all that traffic with the pedestrians. And, you know, we, with some funding available now with the overlay, we had to chop it out last year, but we're thinking, well, let's put the raised sidewalk, because that is ultimately the safest alternative. That'll provide us the safety for the pedestrians this year, It's not going to make everybody happy. I understand that. But we could get this under construction early summer and then have the design, and we come back and tell you what we'd be looking at to widen the road, what kind of cost we'd be having involved here fairly soon, I would think.
Okay. And, you know, and I think just the other thing, I think one thing that we're learning is we need to really keep be very transparent with what we're doing and make sure that we keep the residents informed as to what we're doing all along. So I'll leave that up to you guys. So really, this was just for our discussion, is going to come back with some cost estimates, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Do you need anything else from us at this time?
I guess we're kind of looking for the blessing that we're heading down the right path and that option A is our best choice. You definitely have the ability to steer us if there's something seriously contentious about this.
Okay. Deshaun or Tom, do you have any concerns?
No. I like that option.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's go forward with that. I can report out to the rest of the council tonight that we have this discussion, and let's just make sure that we just keep the residents informed.
Yeah, I was going to say, can we make sure, because we've heard a lot of folks who, you know, said for one reason or another that another approach is preferred. So can we make sure and double back and say, hey, we looked at it, we learned the information, all that, and it's leading us in this direction?
We'll do.
Yeah, certainly. Yes, I think what we did last time, Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, we sent postcards, right?
Yes, sir.
So we can do step one and go from there.
And I have the contact of the most vocal residents that have been you know, sharing their points of view with us, and a pretty open dialogue with them. And so I think they would appreciate an update from me. Shorten out since we've had this meeting to know which direction we're heading. Again, I don't think that they'll like the short-term outcome, but I think they understand what we're looking for long-term. And a brief bit of history, not to keep you too long, but when we did the last phase of 53rd Avenue South, we had originally designed this roadway as well, but it was cost prohibitive, so it was cut out. And the reason for that was trying to get everything undergrounded and the retaining walls and things. So if we look at a two-way street right now, it'll be a very minimalist attitude to look for the 20-foot lane width that we need for fire code, but don't expect undergrounding and fancy street lights.
Yep, understood. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, so that moves us on to the next agenda item, which is interim small wireless facilities code adoption. And the goal here is to move this out of our committee tonight, which will be on the COW, followed up by a special meeting after the COW. So who would like to lead off with this?
I'll kick us off, council member, if that's all right.
Sure, go ahead.
So this is Eric Compton, Tukwila Technology Innovation Services Department, presenting this municipal code update in partnership with our legal counsel, Ogden Murphy Wallace. At their advice and counsel, we have decided to adopt an interim code for a period of 6 months to help us in our moving forward of processing small cell wireless permits that are coming in fast and furious. And to go over the details of this code, I'll turn over the time to Emily Miner.
Good afternoon. Good evening. I guess we're getting into the evening hours here, even though with this nice sunshine, it feels like it's still midday. As Eric indicated, I'm here to discuss the small wireless facility code update that we are presenting to you this evening. This is an emergency ordinance that we're proposing due to several factors. One is that the FCC has imposed new, tighter regulations that dictate how the city can review and process these applications for small wireless facilities. So this interim code is designed to have some of those guidelines in place so that we can appropriately process the applications that we're getting in a manner that does protect the city's interests while still complying with federal law. And so It also offers some design standards so that we are protecting the city's sort of aesthetic interests, and then again has those permitting processes in place. So the idea is that this will be in place for 6 months and offers those protections for the city. And then during that 6 month period, staff will work internally to put together a permanent set of regulations. And then we recommend that we go through the industry review with that. And then also it goes through the GMA and CEPA process, because there are some land use regulations. So that's just standard for land use regulations. I'm happy to kind of dig into the details if you want, but I can pause for some questions if you have any preliminary ones.
Thank you. Councilmember Quinn, do you have any preliminary questions?
No, I think we've had a lot of discussion on this item.
Okay, great. You guys are well-versed then.
Super. Tom, do you have any questions?
Not really. I would agree with Councilmember Quinn. It seems like we've been through this quite a bit lately. So I guess the one question I would ask, or the two questions, I assume since you said on advice from legal that they've seen this.
Yes. I drafted
and then
it.
This, yep. Okay. And then second, I would say pardon that I use the term a no-brainer, but, you know, because we've had some lengthy meetings where we've discussed this. So this is pretty straightforward then to just put this in place for 6 months, a kind of continuation of what we've talked about without me going through and checking each point on it. That, it just seems like this is pretty next step. And what happens after 6 months?
Great question. So after 6 months, we'll come back with, I'm anticipating a relatively similar code, but it'll at least you'll have had time to work with it and sit with it and make sure that it does fit everything that you need and you want to see, and then that gets put in place. So it's going to be a pretty straightforward process. I don't anticipate too many hiccups. We do want to get it out to industry because we want to get their comments. They haven't had a chance to comment on this particular code, although it was drafted based on Federal Ways Code that they just approved in January, a few months ago. So, it's been vetted by industry already. So whatever tweaks that we do for Tukwila, I'm sure they'll have some comments on it. I see a couple of the industry folks here tonight, and they like to participate, and it's great to have them on board early on. And so we'll be coming back, sometime in September with the permanent code and get that adopted, and then you'll be off to the races.
Okay. I guess I yield back.
Excellent. A couple more things then, I guess, on the process side of it with this particular code. It establishes small wireless facility as permitted in all zones within the city, but the facilities are prohibited on property containing a residential use in a residential zone, except where located in the right-of-way. And it also, like I said, mentioned before, has permitting processes and the design and concealment standards for small wireless facilities. So a couple of the general design and concealment standards, ground-mounted equipment is prohibited unless it's placed in a vault. Poles, if they're going to be placing new poles, they must be ADA compliant. Signs are not allowed unless they're required or they're part of a concealment design. The preferred location is the location with the least visible impact. Again, except where in the right-of-way, facilities are prohibited on property containing a residential use. So those are kind of the general standards we're looking to, again, just kind of minimize the impact on the city's aesthetic. And then I think that the important part is that we have design standards for not only the city-owned poles, because that's what Extenet has come in and been going on and has been a really collaborative partner with us on putting together that design, but we also have standards for wooden poles. If they want to go on the strands between poles, some providers are going that direction. And then if they want to go on to existing buildings, we have standards for those as well. So this is encompassing a broader number of standards than what you had looked at previously. So again, kind of going back to next steps, we're going to review and hopefully adopt the interim code today. And then between April and July, we're going to be preparing those permanent regulations. and then bringing those back, you know, in August, September. We will be doing a more comprehensive update. So I guess I should have walked back what I said earlier, but we're going to be looking at not only the small wireless facility code, but also your macro code. That's your existing code that you have that needs some updates to reflect the changes in federal law. So we're going to be doing an overhaul of that in addition to incorporating the new regulations regarding small wireless facilities. So that's my pitch to you tonight. I'm, again, happy to take some more questions, but like you said, you've heard it all before, so I don't want to take up too much of your time, and I know we'll be getting into it with the rest of council as well. So happy to leave it there, but available for questions as needed.
Oh, I mean, I think this is great. I mean, I read through this. Nothing stood out to me that doesn't sound good or, you know, it's standard. So council members, are you fine with just moving this out? So that's what we'll do then. Unanimously move it forward. Hari?
Committee members, I have a miscellaneous item or a heads up that I would like to give whenever you're ready.
Sure. So do I.
Yeah, I just had a question when it comes to staff giving miscellaneous. Do we know about it beforehand, Verna?
No, I didn't put it on. It's just a heads up.
Okay.
I don't have to. So there was
an article. A question.
Yeah, there was an article in the Seattle Times about bridges, their maintenance, and the repairs nationwide. So I just want to give you guys a heads up that Adam Cox, our bridge engineer, and myself are putting together a report that will show you over the past several years what we did to our bridges and how we're programming the maintenance and how what their subsidence rating. And so I just want to share that as sort of a heads up with you. Thank you.
That's actually really good because I was going to ask you that question if we could get that report in light of that article. So great.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, does anybody have anything else? All right, we have time to eat. So, all right, so I'll see you guys in about an hour. Thank you.
Thank you.